Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that I love to do in my quote-unquote spare time is genealogy. My mom got me into it. She's been researching her side of the family tree for years and has this all the way back to, like, the Netherlands. If you listen to her long enough, she will tell you all the stories about our ancestors. Clearly, I have not listened to all the stories because I think they're from the Netherlands, but I'm not 100% sure. I love it. So what I decided to do, since she's been researching her side of the tree, I decided to do my dad's because no one has ever worked on that side of the tree. I don't have us back to the Netherlands, but I have us back to Germany. Big shock, I know. I have us all the way back to Germany, and what I learned in that, because my family is not good at handing down family stories, is that my great-grandfather moved my grandfather and his siblings to Oceana County, Michigan, about 150 years ago. And friends, they haven't moved since. 150 years in Oceana County, Michigan. It's a long time to be in one county. In fact, out of all of my dad's side of the family, his cousins and my cousins, there are exactly three of us who no longer live in Oceana County. We call ourselves the Escape Club. There are three of us that don't live there anymore, so that means that my family, the name is known in Oceana County. So even now when I go back, even when I was married, rather, when I went back and I needed something like a favor from the service station, or Ted and I were at one point trying to get a loan to buy some property, I didn't walk into the bank and say, "Hey, I'm Heather Holland. I live in Trenton." What did I say? "I'm Heather Oberlin of the Oceana County Oberlins." I don't want to brag. I said, "I'm Heather Oberlin," and all the time they would say, "Oh, you're Dave's daughter. Oh, you're Bob's niece. You're Paul's granddaughter." And it opened to me some doors that may have stayed a little bit locked, because people in Oceana County are not rude, but they want to know who they're talking to. So part of my identity as somebody who lives in Michigan is I am an Oceana County Oberlin. Bob, can I get some business cards with that on? It's an important part of who I am and my identity. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew has spent the last three chapters, the first three chapters of the Gospel, laying out Jesus' identity. Does anybody remember how the Gospel of Matthew starts? In the first chapter, what does Matthew tell us? Who said that? Genealogy. Everybody's pointing back to Al. It starts with genealogy. Matthew spends the very first chapter, that time when you want to get the audience's attention, laying out the fact that Jesus is from the house of David to prove that he is the Messiah, the Christ, God's Son. And then in chapter 2, we hear that the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her, "You are going to have whose son? God's son." And then Jesus is born, and the Magi, the wise men, come and they honor him as the king. Everything to this point in the Gospel of Matthew says that Jesus is God's son. And we get to the text for today. John has been out baptizing people in the River Jordan for repentance. It's baptism, but it's not the fullness of baptism that we get in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus comes walking up and he says, "John, I want to be baptized." Now, if anybody comes to me and says, "I want to be baptized," the first thing I don't say is, "There's no way I can do it." I say, "Absolutely, come to church because I can put you on our membership rolls then. And that looks good. Come to church, I will baptize you. I will baptize anybody who wants to be baptized and feels that call." But John kind of argues with him. He says, "I'm supposed to be baptized by you." And in the natural order of things, it should be Jesus who is baptizing John. But already, right out of the gate, before Jesus even starts his public ministry, Jesus flips things on its head and he says, "No, you are going to baptize me." And this actually is the moment that Jesus' ministry becomes public. Becomes public because he's baptized in front of the people. So John puts Jesus in the river Jordan, and baptizes him, which would have been Jesus likely on his knees in the water and John pouring water over him. It's a wonderful image, especially when you think that the area that they were in is desert. You know, we talk about living water, but imagine being in the desert and having water poured over you. It's beautiful. Jesus comes up out of the water, and Matthew is not clear here. In some of the Gospels, the crowd clearly sees the heavens open and the angel of God come as the Holy Spirit and rest on him. But here it seems like only Jesus knows, only sees that the heavens are open and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. And then there's this voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus hears that. So the reader for the Gospel of Matthew knows, because Matthew has laid out his case so carefully, that before Jesus even starts his public ministry, we know exactly who he is. We know that he is God's only Son. And then his ministry becomes public in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Because between now and then, Jesus will spend 40 days in the desert before he begins ministering to people. Whose are you? Our identity is so wrapped up in so many things. As I look out at you, I see a million different personalities, personas, if you will. You are moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, daughters and sons, step-parents, step-grandparents, good friends. Now, some of you may have noticed that I've started to dip my toe into the dating world again. It's a brave choice for a pastor of my age to do such things, because it was really different than when I dated when I was 20. Talk to me if you want to know more about that. I started to dip my toe into the dating world, and it's all online now, so you get these profiles of people. I'm not even going to look to see if anybody's familiar with that. I'm just going to keep my head down. There are profiles of people, and did you know that sometimes people lie online? I met a guy for coffee, and he swore he was 6'2", and he was 5'7". But my question whenever I meet somebody for coffee is always, who are you? I want to know who you are beyond your profession, beyond your hobbies. I want to know what makes you tick. Who are you? What is your core identity? For Jesus, his core identity is Son of God. But what is our core identity? It may be funny to consider myself an Oberlin of Oceana County, but I'm also a mom, a daughter, a pastor, an aunt, and so much more. What is our core identity? Our core identity is as children of God. Because everything else can be taken away. Everything else can go away if that's our core identity. If your core identity is, I am a master piano player, and your hands get broken, and I don't want that to happen, Karen. You can't play piano. What are you then? If you are a doctor and you lose your medical license and that's your core identity, who are you if you can't practice medicine? Who are you at your core? Today, it's not just Jesus that hears that he is a child of God. You are also God's child. And we may not hear those words physically when we are baptized, but anytime I do a baptism, I literally get chills on my arms, even after almost 21 years doing this, because I know in that moment that the Holy Spirit is coming to that person. And I know that anytime I look at that person from now until we never see each other again, that that core identity is of a child of God, and that can't be taken away from us. In our baptism, Jesus adopts us. God adopts us, rather. God adopts us as his own children, sons and daughters. And God looks at us and says, "You are my child. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus isn't the only one to hear it. He's not the only one who hears that he is God's own child. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but the last couple weeks in the news have been really intense. Anybody notice that? In fact, I'll get up in the morning and scroll through my news feed, like, what's the bad news today? Ooh. There's impeachment. There's a possibility of war in Iran. Australia is burning. It's scary. And if our core identity is not a child of God, the winds of this time can shake us. It's scary. It's hard. And none of that even compares to what's going on in our own personal lives at a community and family level. If the winds of this life are shaking us, I want you to remember and know and hear on your worst day that Pastor Heather said, you are a child of God. And that means that God loves you beyond everything else. Last night, I was with the kids, and Samuel asked me, and you will laugh. He said, Mom, when you were in high school, were you a good kid or a bad kid? And I kind of looked at him in the rearview mirror. I'm like, well, what do you think? Right? And I said, and I'm always happy to joke with the kids, but sometimes I'm not. I said, Sam, there are no good and bad people. There are good and bad decisions, but there are no good and bad people. We are all children of God. So even when we make mistakes, even when God may not be pleased with the choices that we make, God still looks at us and says, you are my child. God has claimed us. And as fierce as a parent's love is for their children, God's love is even more fierce for us. There's nothing that can happen to us that will take us away or erase that child of God status. So this week, I don't know what it's going to hold for us as a global community, national community, church community, families. But no matter what happens, I want you to remember that I said on Sunday, January 12th, that you are a loved child of God and that nothing can change that for all time. My friends, rest in the arms of Jesus this week. Know that you are a loved child of God, that every time you look in the rearview mirror or in the bathroom sink mirror, that you are looking back. God's child that was so worth it that God died for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us as your children. God, cut through all the identities that we have to show the world and instead help us to focus on the fact that we are your children. Help us to hear that still small voice that says, with you, I am well pleased. In the darkest times and the happiest of times, God, call us always back to that center identity. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.